I don't know about you this morning, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful because he woke me up this morning. Amen. He started me on my way. All the issues on my heart. Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again into thy divine presence, Lord, with thanksgiving and praise. Lord, we thank you for this another day.
Yes,
Lord, a day in the land of the living, a day we have not seen before, but a brand new day nevertheless. We thank you for how you watched over us as we slept in slumber through the night. For how you woke us up this morning, clothed in our right minds, with the blood running warm in our veins, the activity of our limbs, and the articulation of speech. We thank you, Lord, this morning because you have given us minds that will say yes to your will and yes to your way. Lord, brought us along the wayside and the highways, God. Brought us once again together to worship you in the beauty of holiness. And so, Lord, as your word is proclaimed, O God, we pray that you'd open up the hearts and the minds of these your people, O Lord. Lord, minister a word, Lord, a word of deliverance, Lord, a word of salvation, God. Lord, a word of freedom, Lord. Lord, a word of liberty, God. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord, for what you're going to do. Lord, save the unsaved, Lord. Reclaim the backslider and stir up the lukewarmer in the matchless mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Lord, and we give you glory. We give you glory. We give you honor. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the praise, oh Lord. Lord, for you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to speak to you this morning on a sermon titled, Christ, the Lifted Up Brazen Servant.
Yes, yes.
If I be lifted up from the earth,
yes.
Bless God, I want you to know if you lift up Christ,
mm-hmm.
Amen, he'll draw all men unto you,
yes, yes.
Unto himself.
Yes. Thank you.
We thank God for the scripture that was read into your hearing just a few moments ago. And
amen.
For the sake of continuity, I'm going to just read again Numbers from the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Verses 4 through 9. Amen. You can find it on the screen to my right and to your left. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this like bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The bronze snake is a picture of unbelief and of Christ, our Savior. Marching out of the wilderness was a hard and difficult thing. It's important to understand that Egypt is a picture of the world. And when God delivers us from the world, he expects for us to be separate from the world, to come out from amongst them.
Amen.
Amen. And so they came out and into the wilderness, marching into the wilderness. And of course, when God saves us, this is a faith walk. We walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
And so we're trusting on the everlasting arms of God. And he leads us
into the wilderness. We don't know from what day for the other what's going to happen, but we're trusting in the Lord. We're trusting in the wisdom and the direction and the guidance of the Lord. And Bible says that the people left out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness, amen, they became tired and exhausted and even bone weary. The passage this morning shows how fatigue and exhaustion got to the people and how they became so bone weary that they lapsed back into grumbling and disbelief. They began once again to attack God and his dear servant. And the scripture clearly points this picture here of a disgruntled people, a people God had brought out for his purposes, that God would end up elevating and lifting them up. The people had to bypass or detour a place called Edom. They had to go around Edom and detour. And this was a long distance out of the way, says the scripture. Moses had even sent two diplomatic letters to the king of Edom, asking permission that they might pass through that city. And the king had rejected the appeal and had even gone so far as to threaten to attack the children of Israel. Moses had to lead the people on a detour around the land of Edom. Sometimes we must take a detour. Amen. Sometimes, wherever the way seems clear, there are oftentimes obstacles in your way. There's oftentimes an impediment or a stumbling block. We must somehow find a way to navigate ourselves around such obstacles, such detours, and not lose focus. As stated, this was a long distance out of the way for the people to travel. Fatigue and exhaustion set in and they grew impatient. They lost concentration and focus. I want you to know this morning that fatigue of any kind, rather it be physical fatigue, rather it be mental or spiritual, if not careful, can lead to a dependence upon the flesh. When this happens, the result is quite predictable because we begin to lose focus and concentration. We begin to lose sight of the journey. We begin to lose sight of what God has for us. When we become tired and fatigued, I want you to know this is Satan's way of crippling us. When we begin to lose focus and concentration, the character reverts back to old ways of coping. Yes. Amen. Which is what Satan wants to see happen to those who call themselves children of God. Yes. Amen. When we become fatigued, when you become frustrated, when we become weary, even on this journey, there are times when we become angry, when we become anxious, when we become fatigued, when we have setbacks. Yes. Bless God, sometimes the detour becomes a distraction and we become setbacks, but that's no reason to lose focus. Yes. That's no reason to lose concentration. Yes. Because if you're not careful, you'll revert back to the old ways of coping. If you're not careful, the flesh begins to take over. Yes. And you begin to wallow in your circumstance. Yes. You begin to wallow in the situation. Yes. You begin to see the situation and the circumstance and not the way out. Yes. Satan wants to see this happen.
Come on, Pastor.
It's a classic trick of the enemy.
Yes.
His devices and his ways never change.
Yes.
It's a trap that more often than not, many of us fall into when we're not careful.
Uh-huh.
When you're given a task, and the task is too insurmountable.
Yes.
And when you're given a chore, when you are on a path,
uh-huh,
and things don't always go the way they are.
Yes.
The road is not always straight and smooth.
Yes.
Sometimes the bumps that come along the way, sometimes the impediments and the distractions come along. We can't allow those things to detour and to take us off our focus and concentration. When this happens, we run the risk of losing our testimony. We run the risk of losing the witness. Amen. We run the risk of distorting the credibility and the integrity that God has built up in us all this long time. Anyway, the Bible said that the people began to grumble and to murmur against God and against the man of God, Moses. They begin to ask why they had been led out of Egypt into the desert or the wilderness to die.
Yes.
There was no bread, no water in the desert or the wilderness. I recall when Jesus was baptized, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have a backpack with him.
Uh-huh.
There was no food. There was no water.
Yes.
Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because Jesus has sense enough to know that God had a bigger plan.
Yes.
And that the God that had cared for him all this while was still caring for him even 40 days in the wilderness.
Yes.
I want you to know that even in the wilderness, that God hasn't forgotten you.
Yes.
That he has not misplaced you.
Yes.
That God has his eyes and his hands upon you even in the wilderness.
Yes.
Because from heaven,
yes.
The bread that God himself had provided to feed the people through their wilderness wanderings.
Yes.
They got tired of it. They called it contemptible, worthless bread. It meant miserable, wretchedness, despicable, cheap.
Yes.
Bread.
Yes.
Cheap bread.
Uh-huh.
Miserable bread. Yes. Despicable bread. The people had constantly grumbled against God's gracious provision.
Yes.
See, when you're walking in the flesh, you can't always recognize the hand of God.
Amen.
When you're walking in the flesh, you can't oftentimes recognize the blessing staring you in the face.
Yes.
When you're walking in the flesh, when you lose concentration because of the circumstances and situations in your life is now dictating your course, you can't receive from God. You can't see it, you can't receive it, and you can't appreciate it if it's staring you right there in the face.
Yes.
They had constantly grumbled against God's gracious provision. Listen to this. During their 40-year wilderness, 40 years is a long time to complain.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Amen.
40 years is a long time to carry a grudge. 40 years is a long time to complain. I don't know anybody that after 40 years of grumbling ain't going to say, I done had enough.
Amen.
They actually stated that they detested the manna.
Uh-huh.
They cursed it.
Yeah.
It was despicable, worthless. As far as they were concerned, they had no need for it.
Yeah.
Now I want you to understand that this scenario transfers well into our context today. Why? Because manna was not only what God provided to sustain their physical life in the wilderness, but manna was a sign of faith in God.
Yes.
Jesus later declared that man shall not or cannot live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yes, yes.
The word is the bread of life, and the bread which sustains us, listen to this, in the wilderness.
Yes.
Amen. It's the bread, it's the word of God that sustains you in the wilderness. Because manna represented their faith and their dependence upon God.
Yes.
As long as they adhered to the manna,
yes,
as long as they ingested the manna, it was,
yes,
signaling to God, Lord, we have faith in you.
Yes.
Lord, your manna is caring for us.
Yes.
Our faith in you to provide what we need every day.
Yes.
And provide, the Bible says, faith turns into, the word turns into faith. faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yes.
And so what happens is, as long as they took the manna,
yes,
the manna was signaling to God, God, we have faith in you.
Yes.
We have faith in you, but when we begin to despise the manna,
uh-huh,
in other words, we're telling God, God, we no longer have faith in you. We no longer believe in you. You can't sustain us. And this same manna was just as in the Old Testament, is a transformed into faith and can carry you through the whole day. The caution is not to allow the fatigue of the daily journey to cause you to lose sight of where you're headed. Never allow fatigue, frustration, or obstacle to distract you so much that you begin to detest God's manna or God's word. Where you no longer feel it is sufficient to sustain you in your daily walk.
Yes, yes.
Manna, and this is how God works, manna was tasteless.
Mm.
It had no taste, it was plain. Mm. Because God did not want them to lose sight or lose focus on the spiritual significance of it.
Amen.
If it had been flavored, if it had a taste to it,
Yes. Then
the flesh has a proclivity to always contrast and compare it to something else.
Yes.
And when you rely on the flesh begins to look outside of the spiritual reality that God set for you.
Right.
See, the manna had no taste. It had no appeal.
Yes.
Because it had a spiritual significance.
Yes.
Let me draw a comparison to you. I look back and I appreciate the days when we were able to take communion back in the old days when it was just the bread and the juice. Nowadays, folk want to know, can we have some special bread? The gluten-free bread.
Yes.
They want to know about the content of the juice.
Yes.
Is it Tropicana or is it Welch's?
Yes.
I want to know the sugar content of the juice.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, back in the day, you were just grateful to be at the table.
Yes.
Jesus sat at the table and he said,
yes,
take this, my bread.
Yes.
Take my body.
Yes.
You know, this is a living sacrifice. Take and eat.
Yes.
This is a sacrifice unto me. It ain't gluten free. All you're taking anyway is a little bitty something.
Yeah.
That never killed anybody. You ever had a crumb of bread that killed you or made you sick?
No.
The point I'm trying to make is the flesh has a way of taking our focus and our concentration off of the purpose.
Amen.
And what God did was that I'm going to make the manna plain.
Yes.
So that they will from. So they would always see me as their substance. So they can't compare me to their fleshly history back in the world. So they can't look back, which they did. They look back and say, Moses, we missed the leeks and the onions. Take us back. Take us back to where we came from. And some of us is the same way.
Yeah.
I done got saved and now look at where I am. God said, you do have an option. I am your option. I am your source. I am your freedom. I am your liberty. I am your liberty.
Hallelujah.
This gets better.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, this time the people had gone too far.
Yeah.
Too far. God had no choice but to judge and chasten them severely. People had sinned in two ways. First, they had spoken against God, and then they had spoken against Moses. Because of this, they were dying.
Yes.
Bible says the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
Now here we have two aspects of the law of God. behavior towards God and behavior towards one another.
Yes.
Because of sin, death is in the world and all are condemned. Every person born into the world has, listen to this, been bit by the fiery serpent of sin and is destined to die.
Yes.
There is no one exempt from the fiery serpent. No one exempt from sin, because sin does not discriminate. It is up to each of us to examine our motives and attitudes behind our actions. God heaped judgment upon the people. Now, this is where it gets good. Understand something. The manna wasn't supposed to taste good, as I said. It was supposed to sustain them.
Yes.
A sign of faith.
Yes.
Notice after all those years wandering in the wilderness, God sustained them. Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never formed holes. There was no sickness, no disease. How about that? For 40 years, nobody dies. Nobody gets sick. Nobody gets disease. Nobody's clothes wore out. Nobody's shoes wore holes in it. But they can't draw a correlation between what God is doing for them through the manna. What God was doing for them through the manna was what they could not do for themselves. As long as they had faith in God and said, God, I'll take what you give us. Because not only is it sustaining us, we're not getting sick. Even in Egypt, we were getting sick. Even when we were in the world, we had disease. Even in the world, some of us was dying. And not a one of us died as long as we were taking.
Hallelujah.
As long as we were taking the manna. As long as we had faith in you. Bless God. Note the confession and repentance of the people after many of them started to die. They confessed their sin and asked Moses, the man of God, to pray for them. The man who they just told, Moses, you don't know what you're doing. Get us out of here. We'd rather go back to Pharaoh. We'd rather go back to the world than die out here eating this stuff. God says, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take it away from you and see what happens. He raised up the serpents, and the serpents began to bite them, and they began to die. There wasn't no serpent before. There was no pestilence before. There were no plagues before. God's presence dwelled with them at night with the fire. And during the day, he provided shade. Pillar of cloud by night, by day. God raised up the serpents and they begin to bite them, and they begin to ask Moses, Moses, please ask God to take away the snakes. Please, Moses, we have sinned against God and you.
Yes.
We know that God has the power, but God ain't gonna listen to us because he listens to you. You follow what I'm saying, my boy?
Yes, sir.
He don't listen to us. In other words, we know we ain't no good, but he'll listen to you. So Moses talked to God for us so that God will lift these snakes off us and we can go back to the manna. In other words, we want some more.
Yes.
We want some more.
Yes.
He was the servant of God, so once again forgave them and their attacks against the Lord. Note the surprising answer of the Lord in Numbers 21:8. The Bible says that the Lord told Moses to make a replica of the snake, hang it on a high pole. Then God spelled out the condition for their deliverance and healing. A person, listen to this, had to look upon the snake. The very thing that caused them to die in the first place is also going to deliver them from their death. This was one of the great symbols of Jesus in the scriptures. This being hung on the cross for the sins of the world is exactly what Christ himself said. He says in John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Yes.
That whoso whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not die, shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know why? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things that were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. And in him was life, and the light was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I want you to know this morning, that same light shines in darkness today, and the world comprehends it not. Churches in today.
Uh-huh.
We become so bored.
Yes.
Because we want options.
Amen.
We want options.
Yes.
The plain word does no longer moves us. Sometimes that's because we have gotten so weary and tired. We become fatigued because of the journey. And we see the obstacles, and we see all of the distractions that have caused us to detour, to make detours along the way. And because you've made a detour doesn't mean that God has left you. God is still with you even in the detour. God is still with you even though the obstacles are there. God is still with you even though the trials and the temptation. God has never left you. God still remains with you. God is still true to his word. God knows nothing outside of his word.
Oftentimes
think about the good old days. I was listening to a preacher on TV yesterday, and they was talking about they was tired, the people was tired, they was in church and they was tired. And the preacher said, I remember back in the days when we used to have revivals, it didn't get going until the third or fourth day. Their work clothes and come right to the church, and they would just stay in the church and have a good time. And on the third day, the Holy Spirit began to move. See, things didn't really get moving until the third day. Now, folks get tired. Folks get tired, and they begin to think about my body. My body needs sleep. I want you to know that when the Lord's moving, and the power of the Lord begins to move in your midst, and if you prefer to sleep, rather than enjoy the power of the Lord, then go to sleep. But I want you to know that God will move. When the people of God's faith says, God, we won't know, we won't let you go until you bless my soul. Lord, the manna is still good enough. Give me the manna. You can take the garlic and the leaves and the onions. But give me the manna. That same gospel that was good enough before is still good enough today.
Amen.
Jesus was hung up for our hang-ups, and he didn't take nothing for it.
Amen.
He said, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy burden.
Yes, yes, yes.
and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Take my yoke upon you.
Yes.
Learn of me.
Yes, God.
For my yoke is easy.
Yes.
And my burden is light.
Yes.
Pastor used to tell us that years ago. My burden, take my yoke upon me.
Yes.
Learn of me. Have a relationship with me.
Yes.
Learn of me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes, yes.
Learn of me.
Uh-huh.
And you'll find that my yoke is easy.
Yes.
You know what a yoke is? The yoke is what they put on the oxen.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the person who drove the oxen,
yes,
had this heavy yoke on the oxen's neck and drove the oxen.
Yes.
And whichever way he turned the oxen, the yoke, the oxen would have to move.
Yes, yes, yes.
God said, my yoke is easy.
Yes.
My yoke is easy.
Yes.
In other words, the burden is light.
Uh-huh.
Come unto me, all of you, and find rest. Rest means content.
Yes.
When you're in Jesus Christ, you're resting. You're able to rest in the fellowship of his safety.
Uh-huh.
The fellowship of his comfort.
Yes.
That's a nice place to be.
Yes.
You know why?
Yes.
Because Paul said there's a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yes.
There's something that the world can't give you.
Yes.
That comes only through knowing Jesus.
Amen.
Stand on your feet. Moses, if you just take the fiery serpent, make it a brass serpent, and I want you to lift it up high, and all those who were bitten by the snake, just by taking a look, just one look, will bring salvation. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. The old folks used to sing the song, help me lift up Jesus. Higher, 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 I'll draw all men unto me. When you lift up the name of Jesus, demons tremble at the sound of that name. When you back it up, with the living, that power has the power to transform lives. I want you to bow your heads and whisper a prayer in your heart. Perhaps there's someone here this morning, under the sound of our voice. You're not saved. You're not a believer. You're not born again. You haven't asked Jesus into your heart to become Lord and Savior. He doesn't just want to become your Savior. He wants to be Lord. Because when he becomes Lord, that's when the new life or the abundant life steps in. When he becomes Lord and Master, this is when he's able to direct your life. He's able to direct your walk, to direct your talk. He's able to transform you from the inside out. When he becomes Lord and Master, whatever he is, bowed and high is closed. If you want Jesus this morning, slip up your hand. Preacher, I want to get saved. I want to live for Jesus. Maybe you got tired of the manna. Maybe the manna was too plain. And you got distracted along the way. You lost your fellowship. You lost your joy. You lost your testimony. I want you to know the manna is still here. The manna is still here. He's the same yesterday, today, and he'll be the same tomorrow. He's a God that never changes. If you want Jesus today, slip up your hand. If not, amen. The altar is open. If you want prayer, you need prayer, you need strength. You're going through, but I want you to know you don't have to go under. And that the Bible says, the Word of God says, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. He said, come boldly before my throne. He invites you to come into the holies of holies, to the blood of the Lamb, to the sprinkling of the Lamb of God, the blood of us on the mercy seat. Come boldly. Why? So that you can obtain help in the time of need. Tiffany, Tiff, can you come stay in proxy for what's that? My niece was in a car accident last night. She's being operated on at Alfred I. DuPont Hospital as we speak. But I know God. God is a great physician. He's a great physician. And we place it in His hands. She was in a car accident and they're having surgery right now. Nothing wrong with staying in proxy. God will use you as a vessel, as an instrument. Your faith, bless God, God will honor your faith. Right now, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus, we come once again, Lord, with thanksgiving and praise, Lord. Knowing, Lord, that you can do all things. You can do above and beyond, exceedingly above and beyond what we're able to ask or even to even think according to the faith that is already in us. Lord, the faith that is in us right now cries out for healing, cries out for deliverance, cries out for prosperity, cries out for better jobs and employment, cries out for better homes, cries out for the salvation of our unsaved loved ones. The faith that is in us, Lord, cries out for divine healing, God. Touch each one right now, God, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, oh God. Allow in their spirits right now in the name of Jesus. For the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof belong to you. There's nothing too hard for God. Lord, we lay all our burdens, all our cares at your feet. Not to pick them up again. We lay our concerns, our worries, our apprehensions. We lay all at your feet and for your care. And we thank you, Lord.
Have been saved from your sin and you're looking for a church room where your soul can be fed. We invite you to become part of our church fellowship here at Eastwood.